conquered English people, he had felt the tyranny and oppressive insolence of the haughty Norman barons. He was a man of great personal strength, possessed of a hasty and choleric temper, but he had shrewdly refrained from showing any open hostility to the successors of the conqueror, and so contrived to maintain his ancient state in his mansion at Rotherwood, while many others in a similar situation had been compelled to give up their homes and properties to the supporters of the Norman invader. He had only one son, Wilfred by name, with whom he had quarreled, and the young man, finding himself disinherited, had adopted the profession of a champion of the cross and sailed away to Palestine with the army of the Crusaders. One evening, in the autumn of the year, Cedric was about to sit down to supper in the old hall at Rotherwood, when the blast of a horn was heard at his gate. In a few minutes after, a warder announced that the prior Aymer of Jorval and the good knight Brian de Bois-Guilbert, commander of the valiant order of the Knights Templars, with a small retinue, requested hospitality and lodging for the night, being on their way to a tournament which was to be held not far from Ashby de la Zouche. "Normans both," muttered Cedric, "but they are welcome to the hospitality of Rotherwood. Admit them." The noble guests were ushered in shortly after, accompanied by their attendants, and Cedric bade them welcome to his hall. When the repast was about to begin, the steward, suddenly raising his wand, said aloud, "Forbear! Place for the Lady Rowena!" As he spoke, a side door at the upper end of the hall opened, and Rowena, the fair and stately ward of Cedric, followed by four female attendants, entered the apartment. All stood up to receive her, and replying to their courtesy by a mute gesture of salutation, she moved gracefully forward to assume her place at the board, while the eyes of Brian de Bois-Guilbert seemed to be riveted by the striking beauty of her face. As the banquet went on, conversation was interrupted by the entrance of a page, who announced that there was a stranger at the gate imploring admittance and hospitality. "Admit him," said Cedric, "be who or what he may." The page retired, and, returning shortly after, whispered into the ear of his master, "It is a Jew, who calls himself Isaac of York." "Saint Mary," said the abbot, crossing himself, "an unbelieving Jew, and admitted into this presence." "A dog Jew," echoed the Templar, "to approach a defender of the Holy Sepulchre." "Peace, my worthy guests," said Cedric, "my hospitality must not be bounded by your dislikes. Let him have a board and a morsel apart." Introduced with little ceremony, and advancing with fear and hesitation, and many a bow of deep humility, a tall, thin old man with an aquiline nose and piercing black eyes approached the lower end of the board. Cedric nodded coldly in answer to his repeated salutations, and signed him to take a place at the lower end of the table, where, however, no one offered to make room for him. A pilgrim, at length, who sat by the chimney, took compassion upon him, and resigned his seat, saying briefly, "Old man, my garments are dried, my hunger is appeased, thou art both wet and fasting." And so saying, he placed some food before the Jew on the small table at which he had himself supped, and without waiting for the old man's thanks, went to the other side of the hall. As the feast proceeded, a discussion arose amongst the banqueters as to which knights had borne them best in Palestine among the champions of the cross. De Bois-Guilbert seemed to speak slightingly of the English warriors while giving the place of honor to the knights of the temple. "The English chivalry were second to none," said the pilgrim, who had listened to this conversation with marked impatience. "Second to none, I say, who ever drew sword in defense of the Holy Land. I say besides, for I saw it, that King Richard himself and five of his knights held a tournament after the taking of St. John de Acre as challengers and proved themselves superior to all comers." The swarthy countenance of the Templar grew darker with a bitter scowl of rage as he listened to these words. But his angry confusion became only more marked as the pilgrim went on to give the names of the English knights who had so distinguished themselves. He paused as he came to the name of the sixth. "His name dwells not in my memory," he said, "but he was a young knight of lesser renown."